the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he was finished, he said it was good. Not just good, but excellent. Perfect. That's the way God made it. And in that perfection was man. And God gave to man his word. A word that revealed to man that God himself was gracious and merciful and loving. In that same word, God commanded man to live according to that word. And so God gave to man one commandment: do not eat of the tree in the center of the garden. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And man rejoiced in that word, and he lived according to it. Adam taught that word to Eve, and they, in turn, would teach that word to all of their descendants. But into that perfection came another with a different word. A word that questioned for Adam and Eve: did God really say? In the account of the fall, you know how Satan took the word that God had given to Adam and to Eve and twisted it and distorted it ever so subtly, so that they didn't even recognize what was being done. They were led away from the truth of the word of God to a different word, to a different voice, to a voice that led not to life and the glory of God's presence for eternity, but a voice that led to death. And now you live in that death. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans that you heard today, put it this way: for I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself might be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We, the children of God, long for the day when what God has promised will be fulfilled. That when once again man will be restored to dwell in the glory of God's gracious and loving presence for eternity, where no longer there will be sin, no longer suffering, no longer death. Instead, what God had intended for humanity and all of his creation from the beginning. Do you recognize all of that in the parable that Jesus set before those who were gathered around him? Last week you heard another parable, a parable about the sower and the word that is sown. And so Jesus explained that parable, how his word is preached and proclaimed, and some reject it out of hand. Others turn aside from that word because of the persecution that comes because of being a child of God. Others turn aside from that word and from salvation because of the worries and concerns and temptations of the flesh and of this world. But others who hear the word of God and keep it are harvested 30, 60, 100-fold. That parable, like this one today, is about the word of God. The word of God that has come to you and has given to you eternal life. In today's parable, though, there is a description of why things are not today for you and for all of us who bear the name of Christ the way they should be, the way God intends them to be, the way they will be in eternity. Jesus put it this way. A man had a field, and he sowed good seed in it. That's what God did at the beginning. By the word, he created all things, and by that same word, he revealed himself to his creation, especially to the crown of that creation, humanity. But then, during the night, as Jesus tells the parable, an enemy of that man came. And in that same field where the man had planted good seed, weed seed was planted. And at first it wasn't even recognized. And that's the way it was from the beginning. Eve and Adam did not recognize that what was happening was the tempter was leading them away from God and from his word. And that's the way it is even today. We live in a day and age, not unlike all of history, where Satan uses words to distort the truth of what God has revealed. It is through words and teaching that Satan seeks to take those who bear the name of Christ away from Christ, or to keep those who know not Christ from coming to know him. In Jesus' parable, the workers of the field don't recognize what has happened until they start growing side by side. The wheat or whatever the seed is that is supposed to be there, and the weeds that are growing alongside. It isn't until there begins to be some maturity, the grain beginning to form, that the workers recognize, wait, this isn't what's supposed to be here. And so their first reaction is, do you want us to go and dig it out, tear out those weeds? Now, modern farming has found a way through chemicals and through machinery to deal with weeds. They haven't quite got it perfected yet, but they're still working on it. But in this parable, there's no such thing. There's no chemicals to spray that will kill only the weeds, and there's no machinery that will pull it out. Instead, in the parable, Jesus teaches that the man says to the workers, let them grow side by side until the judgment day. That is, until the time of the harvest. Then we will separate them, and the weeds will be gathered into bundles, and they will be thrown into the fire, but the wheat will be gathered into the barn. That's the end of the parable. Now, you who are gathered here today heard last week's parable about the sower and this week's parable about the weeds and wheat growing together in the field. And you know exactly what Jesus is talking about, don't you? But that's not the way it was when Jesus first taught them. Jesus' disciples, as I'm sure you heard last week, came to Jesus and said, why do you teach the people in these stories, parables? Because on first glimpse, when you listen to those stories, if you don't recognize what Jesus is doing, you think he's just giving lessons on farming. And that is not what he is doing. He's teaching about the kingdom. And so Jesus then, after he goes into the house, when his disciples ask him, okay, you told us what the other parable means about the sower. Now tell us what this one means. And Jesus told them that this parable is a description, really, of the entire history of humanity. And it points forward to the day of judgment when finally the believers and the unbelievers, the believers which are the produce of the seed of the Word of God, and the unbelievers, which are the produce of the teaching of Satan, will be separated. And the unbelievers will be cast into the eternal fire of God's judgment, while the believers will be gathered together and into the harvest, into the barns of the Master, where they will dwell for eternity. What application do we make of this parable for the church today? The first is this: the reality that the church, while she lives here in this time, in this age, is a waiting church for something that is better. That's why Paul, in his letter to Romans, can say, you can't compare what's going on now to the glory that is to be revealed on the last day. It's hard for us even to imagine that, because we cling to the things here on earth that do give us joy, that do give us happiness. We seek to find things that we think are the very best, but there is nothing that you know now that can compare to the joy, the happiness, and the glory that is to come. Second thing is that the church on earth must be aware. In Jesus' parable, we recognize that the one who sows the seed, the devil, of false teaching, does so ever so subtly. He seeks to deceive the faithful. And that's going on even today. The church has the Word of God. The attacks upon the Word of God are ever growing and increasing. You should not be surprised by this. But the warning is for you, the people of the church, not to try to conform the Word of God to the teachings that are coming from Satan himself. It could simply be things of morality, as we see attacks on the morality of what is taught in the Scriptures. The church must not give in to that pressure. The church must not compromise those things which are unchanging according to the Word of God, and the teachings of right and wrong and of morality and of what is sin. But we must also not give in to the pressures that come in other areas of teaching as well. You know that there are those, even within the church, who deny such basic things as the life of Jesus, the virgin birth, the redemption at the cross, who teach that there is a salvation available to humanity apart from the name of Jesus, who was crucified, died, and rose triumphant over death and the grave on the third day. Those attacks are becoming more and more bold. And perhaps that's good, because within the church, perhaps we recognize the assaults of the devil more clearly. But Satan is a sly one. He will continue to seek to deceive the church. You who hear the word of God and keep it, who put your hope in Christ and in Christ alone. And so the warning is there. But there is also hope, because God did something at the very beginning, after Satan had sown the seed of false teaching. God brought his word of grace to Adam and to Eve, the promise of a Savior. And he has continued to give that word of promise to each succeeding generation, so that even today we have the word of the gospel that tells us again and again that our hope is in Christ and in Christ alone. That the hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation comes only from him who crushed Satan, who silenced his voice by destroying his power at the cross, and by his triumphant victory on the third day. gave to us a victory over death and the grave. There is hope, because even as Jesus' parable tells us, the day is coming when the weeds and the wheat will be separated. For now, the church lives in a world surrounded by the weeds. But the day is coming when she will be separated. She will be revealed for what she is, the true church of Christ, the true people of God, the sons of God who are heirs of everlasting life. This is our hope. This is the promise of God. In the meantime, we cling to that word. A word that promises you that baptized into Christ, you have been set free from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. A word from Christ that leads you to repent of your sins, but to flee to Christ for his mercy. A word from Christ that declares to you, you are not alone, for I am with you where the weeds and wheat grow together. For I am with you here today, according to this promise. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is Christ's promise, and this is your hope. Children of God, you listen to the parables of Jesus, and you know what they mean, because he has explained them to you in his word. Let these parables give you hope and comfort. Heed their warning, cling to his word, and rejoice in the promise that Christ gives you through his word. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.